the way to do this. All right. So I'm going to ask you for other times when we do this is to don't stop the recording because I forgot to start it the other day. So if you do it, it's fine because it'll just go to the cloud. Just leave it going unless I say, okay, let me switch it because otherwise I screw up and that's not good. So, all right. Who's here? Let's see. So, hey, hi, and welcome to our NEPT open coaching call. This is a call for, what are we in March? Holy cow, we're midway through March already. Can you guys believe it? It's crazy. So we're having a call here so we can answer your questions, look at labs, support you in any way that I can support you in this process. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say and let's go from here. So who's got a question, a comment, something you want to discuss, something you want to share? I just came from another call. I saw Lynn Rose on there from the Sweet Spot people, and it's really cool to hear what's going on already in terms of changes, but also to hear the things that you're going to deal with a lot, which is the people that go, what should I do? I took my glucose this morning and it was high and it went high after I ate. What should I do? Like, do the program, right? Should I see the doctor? Is this a medical emergency? No, it says you have insulin resistance. You're in the right place. So it's really kind of cool to watch that. And if you haven't, if you want to come to those calls, even just to observe and see the kind of questions that come up, it could be really helpful for you in helping to support what's going on with your own clients. So open up for questions. Gay, who has questions? I see Drina. Hi, Drina. And I see Susan. Yay. I love seeing you guys, by the way. So if you're not naked or anything, go ahead and put your camera on. And just, it's nice for me to have the connection, right? So even if you don't have questions, just put on your camera and let's talk. Let's just see each other. Let's just make it a community. Okay. Oops. I just lost it. There we go. Yeah. There's Susan and there's Marcy. All right. So questions, comments, and there's Janine. Yay. I love it because I see the names over here, but it just means it's just so nice. And there's Maria. Yay.
So is it possible for me to go first, Dr. Rita Marie?
Absolutely. Go for it. You're the first one to show yourself, so you get to go first.
So my question is, I'm starting with a new patient and general blood work. I didn't have time to load this for you to be able to see it, but he definitely has TPO antibodies and thyroglobulin antibodies. The thyroglobulin is a 252. Yeah, his MTPO is 42.3. So, okay. I also, what I know, his fasting glucose is at 99. In this blood test I did not order, he did not have his lipids run to be able to see what's happening with the triglycerides HDL thing, but I'm asking him to order those. So just as a beginning, I'm feeling like with his antibodies like this, that it is glucose related, because he's now gone, autoimmune, you know? And so Hashimoto's is what I would say. I'm not saying that to him, but I'm.
No, but that's where it's not in a distinction of like 11. Somebody had 11 on the other call and said, do I have Hashimoto's? I said, I'm not diagnosing Hashimoto's. And medically they wouldn't say it was until 34 or higher, usually even 100, some of them. But yeah, it is. Clearly Hashimoto. Well, it's not clearly Hashimoto's. Let me ask you this. Is this guy thin or overweight?
He's actually not overweight. He's about 6'1" and he's right at 200 pounds.
Okay. So ask him questions about hyperthyroid symptoms.
He has both. He has that jittery, you know, thing. If you even has the teeny tiniest little bit of caffeine, which is a TH2 dominance, right? So we're seeing some of that in him. So yes, he's carrying hypo and hyper through the assessments,
right?
On both sides.
Yeah. So that's good to know because that could be one of two things, right? So with high TP, well, with the lower end of the TPO, like it's really barely above the medical realm, and the high antithyroglobulin, you want to look at thyroid stimulating immunoglobulin, TSI.
Okay.
Because you want to see if there's a possibility of Graves. Now, that said, the combination, the up, down, high, up, down, is usually Hashimoto's in its earlier stages. In its earlier stages, we often see Hashimoto's as showing as a hyperthyroidism. And then it switches, but it can go up and down because of thyroid storm and the antibody levels can go up and down. Yes. So it would just be a good thing to rule out that the TSI is not also involved, because that's usually not involved in Hashimoto's, but it would be in a Graves condition. So
okay.
I have to get that. And then, yeah.
So that's the thyroid
stimulating immunoglobulin, TSI. Okay. And then look also at his numbers, right? You want to look at his T4, T3. Are they on the high side or the low side? And his TSH?
Well, the TSH is at 5.86. It's high.
It's high.
More toward the hypothyroid, side rather than hyper.
Oh, absolutely.
His total T3, which the doctor, for whatever reason, refused to run a free T3, which is what I requested. I mean, I think I want to go hang the doctor myself. Sometimes I just feel that way. But
I know, I do too.
Anyway, the total T3 was 63 NGDL, and the total T4 was 6.0.
Okay, so the 6.0 is on the low side, definitely a hypo. This is most likely a Hashimoto's. That it's unlikely to be a TSI. When you see that pituitary stimulation, the TSH, somewhere in that kind of equivocal range, like maybe it's 1, 1.5, you go, it could be without a medication. It could be, if it's below 1, mm-hmm. it could be just as normal, but it could be, leaning, but with that 5 point something and the T4 being so low, and the T3 actually is, the total T3 is quite low mm-hmm. as well. So yes. I don't know off the top of my head, because I don't do total T3 all that much, like where in the ranges they are. If that would indicate, the T3 is at the lower end of the range and the T4 is at the, more of the conversion issue. So
it is at the lower end of the range. The T3 is at the lower end and the T4 is at the lower end.
So it may not have a conversion issue. With thyroid, I think it's super important to always look for all of the conditions that are out of whack, because a lot of times we'll just work at one and then we don't go the other way. Mm-hmm. The resistance is something you always want to look at your protocols for thyroid resistance, because I just assume everybody has it. Because mm-hmm. if I don't assume everybody has it, and we go to work on getting the conversions working and we get the antibodies down, but the receptors are resistant, what's going to happen? They're not going to get results. So you have all these beautiful numbers on paper.
Yes.
But the person still feels like crap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. His energy levels are super, super low. I see just in looking at his skin, he's a little bit gray. I think he's got some liver. Some of his liver stuff was not so good. His bun and creatinine, his kidneys are, having some problems. Bun is high and creatinine is high. So the kidneys, that's why I felt like it could possibly be related to having some blood sugar issues also, and it's kind of the two together, I feel. It's a real combination thing, that the kidneys are having a problem getting rid of the toxicity. Could partially be from the liver not really being able to detoxify properly. And you can tell me if I'm wrong, please, because I'm just sort of, hashing it with you.
I think you're doing great.
And I'm like, I think that drugs and alcohol abuse has really affected this liver issue, because he's really, for a year and a half or 2-3 years, was really doing a lot of drugs. Mm-hmm. And not just prescription drugs like Adderall, which is very effective to the thyroid. They're saying that's almost one of the top drugs to affect the thyroid, production of a thyroid hormone. So there's your thyroid resistance. So I'm kind of feeling even his calcium levels are high, so the parathyroids could be being affected. I just think it's an all around out of body balance. Yep. That eating too late at night, he refuses to give up his meals 3 hours before bed, you know, and I'm saying, well, your health, not health. I mean, what's giving up that food? I go to bed hungry. We'll eat more at dinner. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
dinner, right. What is, what's his age?
55.
So he's not old. He's not young. He's just right there in the middle. So, you know, is he willing to give up this abusive lifestyle?
He has been for 80 days dry of drugs and alcohol.
Beautiful.
Okay. So at least he's beginning. It's right. I'm you know, trying to get kind of clear with some light detoxing, like maybe dandelion tea, maybe some nettle tea, just to kind of start detoxing the liver.
I would do milk thistle.
Milk thistle,
especially with the history of alcoholism and drugs.
Okay.
And a look at his AST, ALT, LD.
His AST is 34, which is mid-range. ALT is 51.
Yeah, they're high. They're not mid-range, right?
Right. Okay, so
our range is 10 to 25 on those, right?
That's right.
Ideal
that's
range.
Right.
He's high.
I'm looking at the blood work, not that.
Yeah, he's okay. Not blown out of the water. Like, you know, sometimes we see them in the hundreds, but they will wait until the liver is kind of destroyed before they say, oh, these are not good. So I would say milk thistle is awesome, but you got to be careful because of the alcoholism. You don't want to get an alcohol tincture. You do not want to get just a ground up milk thistle in this particular case. I would prefer to see him do, I think it's Gaia has these, they're tinctured and they're drawn out with alcohol. And then they somehow remove the alcohol and they put them in these little capsules. And
okay,
it's the Gaia Professional line, Gaia Professional Solutions. You can get them on Emerson. I don't know if you can get them at Whole Foods or places like that, but Emerson, you know, places that sell the professional lines, you can get it.
Okay.
You might want to get them on milk system. I love the idea of the dandelion and all that. If he'll do that, right? Mm-hmm. You also have to work with them where they're at. And a lot of people are like, tea, just give me some pills to take, right? Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, you can get nettles in pills. You can get dandelion in pill. I mean, you can get all of that in pill form. Right.
Okay. Well, he's really willing to do teas. Mm-hmm. He's willing to do like elixirs.
Beautiful.
You know, so those kind of things I can have success with. Powders. He's willing to do powders and elixirs. He's willing to juice.
And wow. Okay.
You know, juicing. So
good prognosis. So look at getting. Well, is he willing to test his glucose?
Yeah, he's ordered his meter.
Beautiful.
So it's a beginning. You know, and try and test after food. So I'm just beginning with him. So it's been a little, you know, let's get these things started. Let's, you know, try and give you some analogy on why we're doing these things and what can happen to your body by just doing these things. So it's just it's kind of a beginning, but I just wanted to make sure that my thoughts were.
Totally. Yeah. I like the idea of just that gentle liver. You don't want to put him into this horrific, you know, high intensity liver detox and get him achy and headachy. He's already in this withdrawal phase as it is. That's a huge piece of the puzzle. That'll help his thyroid. That'll help his sugars. That's going to help his liver and support his kidneys, right? Making sure he's drinking adequate water. The guy's 154 pounds. You want him to be drinking at least, you know.
He needs 100 ounces a day. He's 200 pounds, so, you know, he needs 100 ounces a day.
Yeah, at least, right? And if when he was drinking alcohol, he probably dehydrated himself.
Because
a diuretic hormone and everything. So he just probably needs even more than that as a starting point. You may look at if getting him some of those energetics, rehydration drops to put in his water or to take a couple of times a day just to help the cells be able to take it in, because if he's been out in on alcohol for a while, that's going to be problematic.
Would it be anything with like electrolytes? I mean, what about an electrolyte powder?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what his electrolytes look like on his blood if they're off. Some of those electrolyte powders have sweeteners in them, so I'd be careful.
He's low, a little bit, I would say, well, of course, according to them, because I don't have a health tracker chart pulled up, he's like at 138 on his salt, potassium's at 4.5. So I don't think he's that far off. Bad.
You might give him just to replete is a liquid mineral supplement, like a liquid light or fulvic acid minerals, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Just an overall, nothing intense, but just to replenish because he's depleted. If he was drinking a lot of alcohol and doing drugs, his nutrient status is going to be low. Mm-hmm. Whenever the liver's involved, the liver, you know, stores a lot of at least the water-soluble vitamins and activates things. So I would say just a general mineral supplementation would be good.
Okay.
Like fulvic acid, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and he also is gluten intolerant. I mean, he has played around with this for years, and I've told him if you're really willing to go ahead and get, you know, completely off of the gluten, I mean completely, no messing around, no more nothing, then you can see your antibodies go down. I mean, that alone can create
the whole thyroid thing to go down.
Along with getting rid of a dairy.
Dairy, yep.
Dairy's really big for him. He loves cheese. And I'm like,
High Hill.
How about cashew nut cheese? I can show you.
Someone to make it, Kite Hill. I mean, I had one guy, he was just like, but I still need my cheese. I still need my cheese. I'm like, go get this Kite Hill. He loves it.
Yeah. He loves their cream cheese.
Yeah.
And their ricotta cheese. I mean, they make it great. So there's a lot of suggestions I have for him.
You're on the right track, girl. Yeah. It's great to hear you spitting it back. Like you're really getting it. So,
yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. He's going to be one of these guys that's going to have a great turnaround if he's willing to do it. The biggest thing that might bite him in the butt is he's on the 80 days, he's whatever. And then he goes out with his friends and thinks, just one beer. It's not going to hurt. Right.
Right. Well, he's been an on again, off again, the wagon, you know, and so we know that that's what happens. He gets a little extra stressed, and instead of being able to go into meditation or deep breathing or something or heart math, he's right there going, I just am going to have this one drink, and then it throws him right back in. That's right, that full thing. I also I've been working with him with the liposomal vitamin C I've been making. I'm using him as a test rabbit.
Oh, good.
You know, and honestly, about 4 ounces of the liposomal on an empty stomach in the morning has been phenomenal for his energy.
Awesome. Oh, that's so great to hear. So when you say 4 ounces, I guess that's different than what we get in the little packets. It's less concentrated or whatever.
Right. Well, it's blending the sunflower lecithin with either pure ascorbic acid or Arceola cherry, which mm-hmm. I've been getting their freeze-dried Arceola cherry from Living Farm, which is right here in Gunnison, Colorado. I had no idea these people were anywhere near here.
Wow.
Really awesome. And I've been using my sonic machine and turning it in and seeing which one is more powerful. They say that the Arceola cherry is actually more absorbable to up to 70% in comparison to about 17 of ascorbic acid. Super. So I'm testing it on him, and I'll do a report for you because I think it'd be good for you to, you know, maybe have just for the vitamin C module or whatever to, you know.
Let's do a video on it. Let's just get, you know, we'll do a Zoom and we'll get you in your kitchen and me over here and you can just show us how to do it.
Yeah, that'd be great. So I'm testing about 4 people right now on tolerance my mom took 1 ounce at split between breakfast and lunch, and she was awake the next morning at 2 a.m. ready with high energy. It's like her cells just took it up so fast that the next day it started showing up for her.
Love
so
it.
Truth be known, it being so similar to IV vitamin C, but at a much more reasonable cost for people to be able to, you know, make it themselves. I mean, $125 investment is what I made, and I can make probably over a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Over a gallon, and never have to, you know, well, I wouldn't say never, but I haven't had to repurchase the sonic machine.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cause if you think about what it costs to buy the liposomal, it's $1 a gram.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, Ben Lynch, what his is $22 for a 5 ounce bottle.
That's wholesale. Right. I think retail is 29.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for people to buy that at $1 a gram, and a lot of times we want to put them on 10 grams a day,
mm-hmm.
it's super expensive. So I'd love to know more. Because I know, like I said on another call, the guy that was pushing Livon Labs was saying how, no, you can't, you're not going to get results by doing that stuff you see on YouTube.
Mm.
So.
No, I contacted this guy on Living Herbal Farm personally, and then I got on Zoom with him, and I was face to face and just said, you know, I really want to know why you think this is what it is. And I mean, he brought up the literature, the proof. He had done, you know, double blind tests himself, had seen cancer reversal in what he had done with his. And I'm like, okay,
do it. Yeah. All right. Well, you, whenever you're ready, we'll do a thing and we'll record it, or you can, you know, do it on one of these calls if you want to, and we'll record it. And then if you don't mind, I'll extract it out for.
No, that's fine. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
She has to do a health presentation for her certification. So.
Oh yeah, that's right. You'll get certification credit for it. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool to do it for a vital health topic?
I think that's even better.
Let's do a vital health topic on vitamin C revisited and have her show everybody how to do that.
I'll take that credit.
Yeah, and then you'll get your certification credit. We'll coordinate it with you. We'll look at the schedule and see when is a good time to do it.
Perfect.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Ooh, awesome. Love it. All right. Thanks so much for your help, Dr. Rita Marie. Appreciate it so much.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Who else? Let's see. Oh, we got a lot of people on tonight. We got 21 people on tonight. Brandon and Cynthia came on, and Drina and Janine. Janine's twice, but double the pleasure. Lynn Rose, Marcy, Maria, Martha, Susan, Tony, Valerie, and 720-284, whoever that might be. Okay, so who's got questions or comments? Raise your hand if I can see you, and if we can't see you, then just raise your hand on the thing, on the whatever. How do you do that?
There's some good comments in relation to Drina on there.
Okay, let's see. You got your 23andMe, Lynn Rose. Questions, does he drink enough water? Right, we talked about that. The chart of our ideal lab ranges, Lynn, is the Master Health Tracker, and it's all in there. So it's just, if you go to, is it resources, NEPT resources, and then the Master Health lab resources or something like that. The lab Master Health Tracker is there. Are you in the? You haven't gotten to that module yet, so. But you still have access to the document.
And I show you all of that when you come to an orientation call.
Absolutely. And we might go back and review some of that. I've got some new stuff I want to share at the retreat. Gaia Professional, thank you. Sprouts carries Gaia. Great. And they have the professional solutions line. You can see it in the health tracker. Where's that? Gaia has glycerin, milk thistle, tincture. No, do not get milk thistle and glycerin. Do not get milk thistle. It's like a fraction of the effectiveness. The problem with milk thistle is that it really needs like 85% alcohol to extract it. The people that need it most are alcoholics with cirrhosis and messed up livers. And you give them an 85% tincture, and then they're sitting there with the tincture going, well, a little bit's good, lots better. Have another bottle of that somewhere, right? So it can trigger that in really sensitive people, just that taste and that feel, because it's very alcoholic. It's extremely alcoholic. So I'd be careful of that. But glycerin won't work. So what they do with the Gaia one is they do extract it in alcohol. And then they do, there's a very special process. You can't just boil water and extract off the alcohol. It's this vacuum process. And then they put them in the capsules. Okay. So I'm not sure what this is related to, Janine, the SAMe vitamin E per Dr. Lynn Patrick. Is there a particular thing that we're talking about that?
I think you were talking about nutrients.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Dr. Lynn Patrick, I was trying to upload a video, a PDF to give her, put it in the chat, because SAMe, vitamin E, and hold on, I'm sorry, I have a plumber here. Hold on, let me pull it up. I can send it to the group.
Okay.
And give it to her, because she had a really great talk on the Dirty Gene Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was very beneficial.
Great.
And then the chronic fatigue, of course, phosphatidylcholine and, my God, I can't think. Is it my turn?
Let me finish going through the chat and then we'll go for you. Yeah, stay on.
Okay.
And Martha asked if we can get Kite Hill cheese online. I've never been able to find it. Maria, this is not awful either. I don't know what that is. related to. So sometimes when we're speaking about something and somebody puts it in the chat and then we go back later, we had no idea what it was related to at the time, right?
So with what Maria posted, we were talking about the electrolytes. And so
electrolyte.
It's a like a sports powder. Okay. Vega Sport electrolyte hydrator.
Yeah, I bought that one for my son, and it was because he wanted one, and I don't remember what was in it, but it wasn't as good as some of the others. Let's just put it that way. Tasted good, but chaparral is efficient at detoxification. Absolutely, thought to extract the residues of intoxicating substances. That's great, great advice. Kiteheal.com is there, but I think they don't ship to people because it's perishable.
Oh, okay. I've gotten it.
What?
I've gotten it.
You've ordered it from them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
When I first
looked. Are you kidding? You think I would get anything around here?
I know. They used to not ship it. So when I first looked for it, I'm like, damn, I have to find this, because I had originally found it when I was in a California Whole Foods, and here they didn't have it. Then they ended up getting it here. But that's good to know. Yay. Oh, great. Janine just did that. I'm going to download it here.
It worked.
Worked. Yeah, you can upload a file here. It's awesome.
How did she do that?
I dropped it from my desktop, and I dropped it in the chat.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. I'm going to just save it in our folder on my computer, and then we'll go on, and you can ask your question. Or you can ask your question. I can't answer at the same time as I'm trying to save, but I can certainly ask.
Well, because I found mold in my house.
Ouch.
So let's think back. Adrenal fatigue, brain fog, all that stuff I've been trying to work on.
Yeah.
You know, the insulin resistance, you name it. But the last few days, I've just lost my brain. I mean, short-term memory loss. It's just, it's terrible. But I was listening to a recording of Jill Carnahan also, and she's talking about the immune system. Well, what's gone down with me? Mine's gone down almost to 625 now. And she does recommend doing immunoglobulins to help support the immune system.
But that's so, IV, right? Is there any other way to get it besides IV? IV immunoglobulins?
She does IVs.
Yeah. You have to find somebody who's willing to do it.
I know. My doctor.
Your doctor is willing to do it.
Yeah, he's the one. He's a hematologist.
Okay.
So, and why is my blood getting thick again? Because I was getting down. I didn't have phlebotomies for 3 months. Now, all of a sudden, I need the phlebotomies again.
Mm.
You know, what?
Is the mold new, or has the mold been there for a while?
Well, this one's new. That's why the plumber's here. Hold on. I'm going to switch here.
Oops.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this one's new, but I'm sure there's old mold in the house.
Yeah, but it just increased the level of it that overtaxed your immune system.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I talked to, of course, dear Lynn today, because I've been on glutathione. I've been on all the support, methylation, liver support, everything. And I talked to Christine Phillips today. She's here locally. To go over stuff with me and see if I could get in that high tech in the house, if I could talk my mom into buying that. Because I know there's other spots in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But this being new and active, oh my God, I can't think. I can't. My legs are so swollen. The other day when I went to the chiropractor, he's like, what happened to you?
Yeah, so it really, you're going to have to get out of that situation. I mean, remedial stuff, getting them to do it, but is there any place you can stay while you're...
I don't know. I just went and bought a mold and lead mask. A 95 one. I ran to Home Depot because how am I going to cook my mom dinner? And I've been on her all day saying this is very serious because how does she have cancer now, you know? And my stepdad, I mean, they've had problems here. We've had 4 problems since I've lived here.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure I'm doing the right things. So one question before I forget. I have my immune records here. I got the labs. But on our health tracker, there's only 2 spots. There's the liposuction,
Polysaccharides.
Yeah, and then the ones for Lyme. We don't have ones that just say immunoglobulins, AGM.
Okay.
So that's serum. How would I input it?
What you can do is you can add it. At the bottom, there's some lines that are actually set up with the, like the formulas in them. Not the okay. Look. It has to be the ones that are there. And you just put them in. And if you put the ranges, mm-hmm. you know, the ranges where it says we don't have a functional range. So we just put, we copy the lab range, a regular range into those others. You can do this for adding anything there.
Okay.
And then it'll do the colors in the thing and you can keep track of it. So you can okay. add it to it. Right.
Yeah. Because I know their low is 700. Mine's at 625. And so would I have to research to, I don't,
I've yeah, I mean, it may be the same, like not everything, not all the uncommon stuff mm-hmm. is actually got functional ranges that have been researched. So okay. I just assume the regular lab ranges, but you're low compared to the lab range and that's all you need to know.
Yeah. And it's gone down from the last time I did immunoglobulins. My GGT was at 15. So I was happy with that. Now I have the TIBC for the iron. And then there's UIBC, regular iron, and iron sap. So none of those are ferritin, right?
None of those are ferritin.
I don't know why he didn't check the ferritin. I just didn't know where to put the UIBC.
Come on, I have to look that one up. There's some unusual stuff with the labs, and they sometimes have things named.
It's unnecessary. Okay.
Yeah, and that may not be necessary. So I think it might be, like, you can it's a calculated number oftentimes. Mm-hmm. So you take the total iron binding capacity and you minus the transferrin.
From what I have here, I'm like in the middle on their range. So I don't remember.
Yeah, don't worry about that. I look at the other numbers that we do have numbers for, yeah.
So I'm going to have them do the ferritin. And then I'm going to take from the mold group, I have a physician. Oh, is my camera off? I keep playing with it.
It went off.
I have the lab sheet here for ordering for all the different mold testing. So I'm hoping he can do some of these, just do it under inflammation. And should I do the interleukin ones also?
I mean, it's not a bad idea. I mean, you want to do IL-3, IL-6. 17, those are the ones that are most associated with autoimmune.
Okay, and then should I do the TH1, the TH2, the, I think.
T-helper 1, T-helper 2.
Yeah, so what is it, CD4, CD8, right?
Yeah, if you want to, I mean, it's, I don't do them all that often, but.
Well, he's a cancer doctor.
He's willing to do it, then do it, sure.
Yeah, he did it before, and my CD4 to CD8 was off.
Yeah.
I'm going to see.
That'll let you see how much difference there is and whether there's been a shift. Now, it may be that it was shifted better and then it got back down again because of the recent exposure.
I'm not sure, but I did the shield. I went through that and boy, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Give our clients. That's not even the practitioner.
I know. So I do use astragalus every day. I'm just going because I'm not understanding TH1 and TH2 balance. I have astragalus I use every morning. I have immune 7M. It has total medicinal mushroom support. Trace minerals, glutathione. I have the OPA.
Vitamin C. I would do bowel tolerance vitamin C or do the Drina version, you know, that liposomal. Could be helpful or buy the liposomal or make your liposomal, but high levels of vitamin C are really needed.
I have some buffered C, so I'll do that throughout the day. And then my doctor saw my biome results and she saw strep and stuff in there. She was going to talk to a specialist about that.
Which results was that? Your biome?
The biome one. The biome.
I just looked at the biome for the first time last night. It's quite an interesting report.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I didn't upload mine yet.
The background behind it. Why did they say that this food is good and this food's not good? I want to see the science.
Well, I think I'm figuring it out because he says no mushrooms, no dark mushrooms, and no citric acid. So I'm thinking because of the fungus in my gut and the strep, because you shouldn't have those things from what I've heard. as far as regular mushrooms.
Right.
He didn't, yeah. Didn't say
I
no.
I want to see their rationale. You know, whenever somebody can say, well, this bug means this, I want to see what the research is that shows that. Because I think it's a reductionistic kind of thing. Right?
Yeah, and the one virus that's very high in me, you know, that could be from the mold setting it off because I've been in this home and it's gotten someone that's been there. So that will activate. I have chlamydia of bacteria in there also. Or if it's about, I mean, there's just stuff in there.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking nystatin because, you know, my immune system and then my white blood cell count keeps going up and down, up and down.
So the statin, are you taking a statin?
No, nystatin.
Oh, nystatin. Okay.
I'm just going by mold experts that I've been listening to for the last 24 hours. Yeah,
I would
sometimes.
Say, you know, those are things that you can try for sure. And then are you off of gluten now?
Yes, I have been.
Yay! Yeah. It's on your immune system, right?
Yeah, it's attack.
Right? I mean, you need to take all the stressors off your immune system. So if you're using any environmental, like, you know, air fresheners, or if your mom does, if she uses commercial cleaning products in the home, those are all things that are just giving extra stress to your immune system. And I'd look at...
Yeah, no, I bought aromatherapy. I spent thousands of dollars this Christmas to try to make this house more organic as possible.
Okay.
And of course, I just want to make sure I'm in the right way. And I really can't think. And that is the most horrible feeling to have again, is losing your short-term memory because I was doing so well. And then not even to remember your name at one point.
Phosphatidyl serine?
I have some, I have 2 bottles. I get that from Dr. Amen.
Well, that oftentimes will help with the short-term memory loss.
Okay.
Because it counter-affects the effect of cortisol. So your cortisols, I don't know how your cortisols are, but if it's dampening your high, and you know, if you still have a decent adrenal reserve, then the stress of the mold in the situation and the stress of your situation in general is going to shoot your cortisol up higher. So look at phosphatidylserine as a possibility.
Is that best to take it in the morning?
Best to take it in the evening.
In the evening? Okay. Because I want to do my binders at night. I have some binders from Dr. Pompa I'm going to finish up. And then she told me about some other good binders to actually have that you can take. And it has minerals with it that work to bind the mold toxins.
Okay.
And when I find the name of that, I'll share it because she's...
So you would take the phosphatidyl at dinner time.
Okay, dinner.
Okay.
I eat.
Lynn just put in a few herbs that are good for the, I would agree, are good for it. Andrographics. Mm-hmm. Echinacea, you have to watch if you're, you know, not sure about TH1, TH2. Some of these others are neutral.
And I almost got the olive leaf at Sprouts. I went and picked up some MCT oil by Garden of Life. I picked theirs up. It looked really good.
Okay. Andrographis is an herb, Martha. It's a bitter herb, and it's a good immune system. It's often used a lot of times with people with chronic sinusitis.
I have so much stuff around here that I have, you know, that I want to try to use up what I have. Tons of teas.
Yeah. Well, you should make a list of everything you have and post it to the Facebook group and see if anybody has input on, you know, some of the stuff you already have that might be useful.
Well, that's one thing. I think once this mold, no wonder it's not working because I have the propolis, ginger, you know, garlic, the licorice, all this stuff I'm doing. So I just feel I just cried because I've got all this money I've been trying to heal.
Okay, well, here, I'm going to give you perspective, right? I always like to give different perspectives. Wow, all this money I've spent on healing has protected me from having such an awful mold, a worse mold effect than I could have had.
Yeah.
Right? We always have to shift the perspective, right? Because if you hadn't been doing that, you may be way worse off right now. So shift your perspective.
That means I'd really be hallucinating.
All that money I've spent on all this stuff
is a
great investment. That's how I would look at it. Okay?
Yeah. Well, I may have a client out of this. I found out, just real quick and I'm done, the doctor's office I go to, He actually retired at age 40. He got Alzheimer's at age 40. My PA, my doctor, she said the back office was so moldy when I came here, I couldn't even go in there. She goes, I still won't go in there. The wife is the office manager. She said, Jeanette, she goes, do you think that causes Alzheimer's? I went, definitely. Mm. I go, and it can be reversed, but he's had it 10 years. So she's going to talk to her. I was supposed to give her a call today, but I was busy. So
you have Bredesen's book? Because it's a good reference. A lot of stuff we talk about, but he has some things in there that are.
Yeah, I wrote it down for her and told her to give it to her to get the book. And then she said, if she wants to work with me, then let me know.
Cool.
To help guide her. So
there's always the silver lining. Why did I, you know, have all kinds of weird stuff that happened to me in my past I'm grateful for?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff. I won't go into it.
So okay. If I post anything strange on the site, you guys, and it's not worded right, it's because I'm not thinking.
You're not there. I think you're doing really well, and I like how you're posting in Sweet Spot and then in Grand again. You know, like really, you're really engaged with people, and I really appreciate that.
I try because I'm not studying right now because it goes in and out. So,
well, it's apparently a lot of it staying in based on what you're saying. So just really allow your body to heal and allow your brain, but allow your confidence, allow yourself to credit yourself for where you're at. You are smart. Maybe you're not as smart right now as you could be, but you're pretty damn smart.
Yeah.
And it's coming across. Okay.
I never want to be like this again.
All right. You'll get out of it.
Thank you guys.
You're welcome. All right. Who else? Susan, you have something? Who else has something? Raise your hands. Let's see. I have two hands up. Annette. Okay. Go ahead, Annette, and then Maria.
Okay. This is about my kid. When she does the zinc taste test, she's sufficient, you know, ugly face, grimacing, like it's still in her mouth. So you go, oh, she's sufficient. But when you run blood work on her, it keeps coming up that she is zinc deficient. So what's the disconnect? What do I need to do there?
Hmm. Did you run, is it a serum zinc or was it like a spectra cell, white blood cell or a red blood cell zinc?
It's when I enter all of her blood. Well, first off, the functional doctor keeps saying you need more zinc. And we're like, but she's sufficient. And then whenever I run it through the blood chemistry software, it's always just from putting everything together.
Right. Yeah. So functionally she seems to be.
Yes.
That's a good question. You know, none of these tests are fail-proof, right? So I would tend to think that I would tend to say, have her go for it. I mean, have her take it. So even if you,
yeah.
Because, and I don't know what the disconnect would be, but I know that I've seen that before, you know, where you think the person's is deficient in zinc and then they go and do the test and it shows up that they're fine. It may be the thresholds. Okay. So it could be that it's fine in a reference range of this for the average normal person. But for the 22 diabetic person who's had ketoacidosis and who's had some really serious stress on her body, she may need this much zinc versus the average person needs this much. Therefore, the range she has is considered normal.
I was wondering because I told her a few weeks ago, I'm like, you're just going to have to go back on it. Because it keeps coming up that you need it. But mom, when I drank it, I'm like, I get that. But you were pretty sick. You were pretty messed up.
Yes.
So any preferred zinc?
I mean, if she doesn't want to take the liquid because it does taste foul, right? Then you can go with like a zinc picolinate, a zinc citrate, a zinc. There's one that's good for the gut, the zinc carnosate. Any of those and just try. And see, that's what I would be thinking. She just needs more. And I think functional testing trumps serum or, you know, like location amount testing any day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I mean, I'll probably end up, what I normally do is give her a couple different forms of whatever.
I think a couple of different forms is good. Most people don't want to spend the money to get, you say, okay, I want you to take zinc, but you know, I want you to take one of these and one of these and one of these. Why do I have to buy three different zincs, right? So you kind of need to compromise. But if you're willing to do it, I would definitely get her different forms.
Well, between all my accounts, I get stuff fairly inexpensively.
Right.
So yeah, I'll get her a couple others. Okay. Cause then is there a gene I should be looking at? Cause like I know her D is, you know, she's got that SNP, so she doesn't absorb D properly.
I'd have to go back to I don't have all that memorized. I'd have to go back to some of my cheat sheets. The way to determine, I would type into Google zinc, SNP, SNP, or zinc deficiency SNP, or zinc deficiency gene.
Okay.
You can go to genewise.com or SNPedia and just type into the search zinc, right? That's how I've found a lot of the things I've found. It's very tedious and time consuming. Wow. But it's definitely worth looking and see what you come up with.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And let us know. So we'll add it to the charts so everybody else can benefit.
I will.
If anybody else finds new gene connections, nutrient gene connections.
I'll share if I find something. And then the functional doctor diagnosed her as Hashi's. Her endocrinologist has not. And you said on the call earlier at the sweet spot that the thyroid peroxidase has to be 34 she's a one. Samantha's a one.
Well, why did her doctor say she had Hashi's?
I don't know, but you said that earlier and I went, oh, I got to dig on this one.
Well, I don't think it has to be 34. Here's what I look at. I look at anything under 10, then it's like, you know, you don't have a full blown, but your body is attacking. How many bullets do you want to be shot, right? Yeah. And so you do the things you would do to calm the immune system down, you know, get off the gluten, the dairy, get on what's going on in the gut, leaky gut, get rid of whatever heavy metals, stress response, you know, calm down, those sorts of things. You want to work on those to keep it. And I think that below 10, it generally doesn't cause a serious problem. It's the potential and the fact that there are antibodies. Now, according to, who was it that said this? I think it was Tom O'Brien. He said, you know, it's not going to go down to zero in most people because the thyroid is repairing itself. It's breaking down and building back up. And you're going to get a little bit of that antibody to break things down. That's why most labs will not even tell you if it's a one. They'll just say under 6 or under 10. Some of them are really dumb and they say under 20. Then you don't know, is it 20 or is it 2? Like, there's a big difference.
Yeah, there is.
So I tell people, look, your body, this is an early warning sign if it's under 10. You know, 10 to 20, it's like, you know, there's some bullets going on here, and I'd like to see you get it below 10. Down to zero, I've never seen it at zero, right? I've just seen under 10 or under 5, it could have been zero.
Yeah, well, hers just says 1. So I'm going to write after what you said.
That was TPO or ATT?
TPO is 1.
TPO. Did she have antithyroglobulin?
That's an 8.
That's the problem, right? The TPO can be less than 10. The antithyroglobulin, if it's under 1, even medically, if it's 1 or less, it's considered a problem.
Yeah, she's at 8.
Yeah, so that's where the problem is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so she definitely has an issue that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's on a real low dose armor, but she says it's great, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, again, not addressing the problem. And she's a 22-year-old at this point, right? 24-year-old. So yeah. She's off wanting to be one of the gang and doing stuff she shouldn't be doing for that or the diabetes, right? And you just have to keep, that's just another reason for saying, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Leaky gut. Can you work on it?
Yep. Oh, we're working on that one too.
Okay, good. Because if you don't heal leaky gut, you won't heal any autoimmune.
Right, right. So that's in there too. Yeah.
And she hasn't had. So there is a tendency for an autoimmunity, which makes me really, you know, anxious to see what happens when you do her pancreatic antibodies.
Well, we did. Which one did I do? GAD I have. GAD, she's through the roof. GAD's been bad. And it is just through the roof. But the insulin and the isolate cells, I haven't done those yet.
Okay, so you already know there's an autoimmune problem because of the GAD, right?
Yeah.
And that's going to make her, you know, that's a GABA precursor, right? That's an enzyme that helps to make more GABA from the glutamate. That's going to make her a more high-strung type of person, right?
She's a little not.
No?
Not
too. What about with school? I mean, does she get, she was.
Well, she's working now.
Yeah. Okay.
She's not as high-strung at work anymore because she knows she's going to be leaving that job soon.
Yeah.
So she's just letting a lot of it just, go
good
right
for her. She needs stress management tools, for all the general reasons, but yeah, especially with the GAD antibodies.
Yes, that'll be something we work on when she's here.
Yay. You already have your hands full.
But that's what I have to do.
You're in an area where if you need to get some really extra support on the personal and the energy work for her, check out Laura Fine. Laura Fine is real close to you. She's in just south of Austin, like around, where 1836, I think it is. It's near where that temple, she lives on by that temple that's down there. I forget. You go down all the way down Mopac till it ends. That whatever that road is, you turn left and she can run off of that. And that could be a helpful thing too, because that could help her to release some of the traumas that, whatever she perceives as traumas. Mom could be perfect, dad could be perfect, but then the kid perceives some, emotional trauma.
She'll tell you you're not. and I've offered, energy work before, and she's like, no. I'm like, okay, whenever you're ready.
Well, she does combination of traditional talk therapy with the energy.
Yeah.
And I can tell you from personal experience with people who I'm close to, she's a miracle worker.
Okay.
Yeah. Total miracle worker. Okay.
Can I speak a little to that? Because
sure,
people, they hear you're an energy worker and it's like somebody's going to go in and mess with them. Well, it's like you're going to go in and go, ooh, you're all messed up and whatever. This is not like that at all. This is not like that at all.
I did eidetic therapy. I went through it. Samantha knew the therapist I worked with. She liked her. Samantha's done some eidetic work. And I'm like, do you want to go do eidetic work with Nanette? You know her. You like her? No, I'm not doing any. I'm not doing any therapy. I just went, okay.
Oh.
So it's on the table. She just has to.
You can't get them. My kid called me up with neck hurting, and when he slept in a certain way, he got numbness, and then his back started hurting, and he's been biking to school on cobblestone roads in the freezing cold in the snow. And I said, before you go on this trip, he's going spring break and taking a trip to other countries. I said, just let's find you a chiropractor and go in and get some adjustments. Yeah. Get this fixed. So you're in not doing it. I put it out there, right? I put it out there. I told him to take a hot towel and, a boil water, put the towel in there, fold it up and put it on his neck and then do some stretching. So he actually let me know today that he did it. He goes, Mom, I did that hot towel thing. It didn't work right after, but he goes, but now my neck doesn't hurt anymore. Listen to your mama. But they won't.
<Mm-mm. sighs> At some point, she's going to come back and ask, so I just have to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can mention, hey, I found somebody that's local here to us and, might be worthwhile to just help you to get rid of some of this stuff. I mean, if she's the talk therapy might, the talk, the energy, like which one is it that scares her, right?
Yeah.
I figure that out and see what she can do. Anyway,
the seeds been planted.
And you can even learn.
I was just going to say, or you learn it, because at the retreat, Laura's going to do a 3-day training, intensive training for us at the retreat, right before the retreat.
And so what it is, you learn questions to ask. She will not even know.
Yeah, she won't even know you're doing it to her. Yes.
Trick her again. Wouldn't be the first time. Okay.
That's the way you do it. Good. Right. Thank you. Okay, what else? Who else? Maria. Whoops, I lowered. Yeah, okay.
Hello.
There she is. Hello.
So I got a couple of things for Annette. I was wondering maybe, so I'm in the training with Laura, and Laura has one of the videos that shows what, you know, energy healing is. And that is public. Maybe we can send or share that with you, Annette, and you can send it to your daughter so she will have an idea of what this is. It's really not cooking, you know, it's not like blah, blah, blah. So I, if you want, I think that we can pull that out. Lynn and I have access to that, and it's free. It's not going to cost anything. It's available. Is that something you want?
Yeah, yes? Sure. Yeah, okay. I'll look at it. Because if I give her the info, then, you know.
Yeah, and you just say, hey, take a look at this when you have a chance. It's just I would say these are opportunities that I'm giving to you, and it's up to you to open the door. Just say like that.
Well,
I mean,
well, and she's, my kid has always been the kid that sits back and watches for a
there
long
time. There you go.
Time,
okay.
And then we'll go, I'm ready.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then I have another one for you, which is what I was going to be my second suggestion is tapping. I did also a free tapping thing. It's in another group that I do, but it's also a free video. I can go back and look at that video, and she demonstrate, and you can do it. She actually, before I did the tapping with her, which I was actually, oh my God, I was bawling and crying like the entire time. Like I couldn't believe it. I mean, this thing hit me so hard. I have no idea. Every time I was relaxing, she hit one more small little question. I was like, you know, I was exhausted in a few minutes. But anyway, so basically, if she can watch, she can do it because she did it. Okay, practice this at home so you know what we're going to do it. I can send that to you if you want.
That'd be great. I'd probably get farther with tapping off by yourself than I would with, you know, talking to someone.
Yeah, and then this person is pretty good. She's in another program that I'm at. You know, she did like a free consultation. I did not pursue anything just because of costs, you know. I do not know how it costs, but she was very good, very gentle, and really pay attention to me, what was going on, and said, okay, enough over here, you know, after a while, because it was too much emotional. So anyway, I'll send that to you. I'm making a note.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So for me is actually, Janine, she sent me some stuff, but I just didn't have the time to look into it yet. But I wanted to ask a question here. So this is about mold as well. I have a client who's having some, it's a brand new client. It's just a lot of headache. And she told me she was exposed to mold for 3 years in a row, 2014 to 17. And so I'm cleaning up her diet, all that kind of stuff. But it's not awful, okay? It's really not awful, but she's got to get rid of certain stuff. On this mold, where would you suggest I start? Because honestly, this is out of my league over here. So I don't know if we have a NAP to
module. We don't have a module on it. Okay. I have someone been trying for a long time to get in to do advanced clinical resources. She spoke at our SIV conference. So if you go to the regular site, client site, blah 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 blah, nothing's coming out right. You go to the client site and you look under SIV 2016 recordings and look for the recording by Anne Shippey. She talked a lot about mold there. I've been trying to get her in for advanced schedule, but she's a little, I don't have my program developed yet, so I don't want to talk to anybody until I do. Well, I've been asking her for a year and a half to develop. Okay, come over. She lives in Austin. Come over, and I'll help you get your program together. This isn't hard. I will have plenty of people buy your program if you just get the bloody thing together. And she's just a little, she's a functional medicine doc, and she has a very busy practice, and she's trying to do this stuff online. But she's brilliant with the mold stuff. The other thing is that Janine was just going through is that mold summit. It's probably available for $60 or $80 or whatever for the entire bloody thing. And there's a lot of good people on that. And then online, my friend Bridget Danner some of you know her. She got really badly exposed to mold, and she did a lot of research. She started a Facebook group called the Mold Recovery Group. So if you look that up, you can get in there and just start to see what they have been posting. And then in the immune system module, we talk about mold and we talk about all the different effects on the immune system, but it's meant as a, you know, broad brush, kind of really in depth. It's not my expertise. Like, I mean, I know basic stuff, supporting the immune things, all the things that Janine was talking about. But in terms of like really going deeper with it and the kind of testing you can do and the kind of remediation, you know, doing a lot of the lab tests we know about, like the oat test, the organic acid test, if they're willing to do testing.
Yeah, she's a teacher, single mom. She barely has money. I mean, it's just tough. It's going to have to be as natural as it can be, you know?
Yeah, so, you know, things like glutathione, but you have to be careful in high-dose glutathione if you don't know their SNPs, you know what I mean?
No, like, don't
go really gentle with glutathione, liposomal glutathione. The other piece you can look at is high dose vitamin C, super important, you know, and all the antioxidant type things to try to drag it out of the system. And, yeah. And Janine, I know, has been studying. I don't know if she's still on the call, but Janine has been doing all the summit materials.
Yeah, she sent me some stuff. I have to go back. She, like, yeah. The other day I made a comment and I just haven't had the chance, but since we're having
the call, so I would look today, at that.
I'll start. And, I have no idea, but this, you know, it's just headaches. When she told me that and I mentioned mold, you know, could be that, and she's like, oh, well, you know, I had this. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, and then liver support, right? Like Trina and I were talking about earlier on, all the liver support to support her elimination channels. And making sure she's drinking plenty of water more than...
Oh, well, we're working on that.
Okay, so all of these, all of the foundational basics, liver support, gut support, kidney support, elimination, get her sweating, saunas, those sorts of things. And a lot of that stuff can help. I mean, castor oil packs, the cheap stuff is good stuff. All the basic liver support type stuff. And that vitamin C, chelated out.
Okay. So I'll start that way. Before we go, just, are you going to have a chance to look at that thing I sent you?
What thing?
Not related to this call, but.
I will have it.
Okay. So then I can release to you. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
I'll look at it. All right. Bye. We had a question about Zoomers. We've been trying to get that going. Lynn's working with her. And are we going to list them? So how are we going to do it? What do we decide? We're just going to send people to, we're going to be doing it on our site. We're going to be offering them.
Yeah. We're just going to put the lab information into that document.
Okay. Great.
But
and we're not, it's not like a lab we're just opening up to everybody. Like most of the labs, when the lab says you can sign up for an account, we want to make sure that you know how to do the labs. So if you're somebody who you come to calls and we already know you're a digger, but there's some people in the program that I don't, and they'd be brilliant, but they're just not coming to calls. So I don't know. So we need to, you know, because I don't want to allow people to use those labs and then be giving bad information to people, right? Because they're registering under our account. Yeah.
Cool. So I think within the week we should have that part.
Okay, good. Does Mountain Rose have Andrographics? I don't know if Mountain Rose has Andrographics.
I get mine from Elk Mountain Herbs.
Okay, and it's a bulk? It's powder? Okay, I don't know about Elk Mountain Herbs. I'll have to look at them.
I learned about them from Stephen Buhner.
Okay, cool. Okay, is there a price break with her? Yeah, you guys are supposed to be able to run them as practitioners. I think there is. I don't know. Okay. All right. Okay, so if you have your raw data that you can share on the screen, Susan? Not Susan. Lynn Rose, do you have it? If you have your reports, then we can go through some of that. We can just pull it up on the screen. And Martha, now if you have just your 23andMe and you haven't run it through any of the filters, then you're
all bets are off. I'm not, there's not much I can do there. But if you run it through like strategy or metabolic healing, the genetic genie, pull it up. And I'm going to also go through how you guys can do it when you get your own back. You can get to a very, you can get to a significant degree of interpretation if you use the tools that we already have available for you. So if you want to get yourself...
She did strategy and genetic genie.
Beautiful. Yeah, if you want to come on, put yourself on and let me know if you send them. I didn't get them. So if you sent them to me, but better is just bring it up on the screen and I'll... Actually, yeah, bring it up on the screen and I can go through it with you, or just email it right now to ine@drritamarie.com. Oh, look, Lynn just found one. ZIP4, involved in intestinal zinc uptake. And Maria just found Snipedia. She put a link in there, Annette. Yeah, Snipedia related to zinc, and Lynn said ZIP4. Oops, Maria just put in a bunch of them. Okay.
They're in the chat because I'm not seeing them.
Okay, so
they are in the chat.
Did Lynn get access to Sweet Spot? Yes, because she was on the call today. Yeah. So she Lynn, was, all the stuff
we're having some difficulties.
So we don't have she doesn't have access to everything she should.
Yeah, she does now. I just sent her a note saying you do. Now.
Okay, good. So I'll show you where to find these things to interpret. Meantime, you either put yourself on and share your screen. I won't do a genetic report unless I'm actually talking to the person, because you'll see there's interaction, and that's the rule I make on our ERC calls as well when I do that. I'm not going to let you just type in questions and fire them at me, because I need the interaction to really get it.
I'm not sure how to put them up there.
Oh, that bottom of the screen, hit share screen. It's a green thing. It's a square, a rectangle with an arrow sticking up from it.
And just do desktop one?
Wherever it is open. So it'll show you, let me see. It'll show you either your whole desktop one, or if it's in a particular box, like the PDF okay. you have open. Now that's your whole screen.
You see my screen?
I do. I see your whole screen. Yep. And then you can open it up.
Okay. I'm not sure which one of these to open up.
Start with the genetic genie methylation. Start with the don't open that one.
This one?
Go above. Second one, genetic genie methylation. There you go. Yeah, your genome. I don't want to see the whole genome. It's like, you know, 600 of lots. Okay. All right. So just scroll it. Yeah, just scroll it down to the bottom so I just get an overview. Okay, great. You don't have anything red. Yippee!
Not on the methylation one. On the other one, I have two things red.
Okay, so go all the way up. Some of the stuff didn't come through. I think they've changed the chip that they're using. Really? MAO is not showing up. That's bad. MTRR, but you have two other. Okay, so yeah. Okay, so go to the top. Now, I'll show it to you when we're finished, and I'll take my screen to show you where to find it. But we have a chart that tells you what these things are. Uh-huh. And it's on this particular one, it's not that much different than the one below it. So if you have the first thing we look at, because everybody's obsessed with it, MTHFR, you're a single heterozygous, right? So you just have the one SNP, the C677T. The other one's okay. Means that enzyme is about, you know, maybe 30-40% impaired. The MTRR and the MTR are all related to B12. And so you've got a couple of one MTR and one MTRR that's related there. Might mean that extra B12 would be helpful, especially if you eat mostly plants. And then you don't have to really be careful about that methyl, because your COMTs are heterozygous. Okay. COMT though is heterozygous, which means that it's slightly impaired, and that has to do with the breakdown of the catecholamines, so dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine, and those kind of things.
So would this be something that would impair sleep?
It could, yeah. Yeah, it definitely could. It could leave you more agitated, more leaning towards agitation.
Okay.
It also helps you to be more focused. So focused but easily agitated would be how I would describe a Kamchi. Does that sound like you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And so, but you have if you had an MTHFR or, you know, the Bs and you want to supplement with those, you want to be careful with the Kamchi. If it was homozygous, or either one of them were homozygous, but that's fine.
Okay.
Your VDRs are heterozygous, which would mean that your vitamin D receptors. So if you find that you need more vitamin D to keep your levels good, that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, because my level's about 40, and I take about 20,000 a day.
Yeah, there you go. So it's impacting. It's clearly impacting you. So you just need to take a little more. Okay. And then with the Bs, you know, I personally muscle test myself to see. I have double heterozygous and a bunch of, several homozygous MTRs and MTRRs. So I just kind of do my sway testing thing with myself. I have them there, and today I need it, tomorrow I don't. I just go by that.
Okay.
Because you don't need them every day. If you read Ben Lynch's book on it, he'll say, you know, we take these things to help us to support these, but we don't need them on a regular basis.
Right.
Unless we're really, really impaired. CBS, keep going down on the CBS. So most of them weren't genotyped. You have one heterozygous. We don't know. That's the most important one, quote unquote, the one that has the most clinical relevance. Right. The CBS is the, if you think about the methylation cycle as up here is the folate version, and over here, let's do two circles, right? Here's the area where the folate comes around to MTHFR. And then over here, we have homocysteine down here, methionine up here. And this is where the hot potato exchange, right, where my fingers are coming together, happens between the methyl groups of the on the B12 and the folate. Then it takes the homocysteine, attaches the methyl group, moves it up to methionine, and then over here is SAMe. Well, down here is all the sulfation stuff and where glutathione is made. Right in here is CBS. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you could get an elevated homocysteine if CBS.
I do have an elevated
homocysteine.
Yes.
Okay. So it's probably a combination because you have three things that could contribute, the MTR, the MTRR. So I would say you're going to benefit from probably B12, B6, and folate.
Okay.
To bring this down, to go from homocysteine here down into the sulfur pathways, B6 is required.
Okay.
So that might be backed up. So I think that the B12, B6, and folate together would be helpful.
Well, I was using a B12 patch, but evidently that's not enough. So is there one that you recommend?
Apparently not enough. I personally like liposomal. So I use a liposomal B12, a liposomal folate from Seeking Help. And then I do, haven't done B6 in a long time. I probably should look at that. But I would do like a B6, P5P separately.
That's what I have.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I would do both of those, maybe 25, 50. Just play with the dose to see if you can, what you need to do to get that homocysteine down.
Okay.
Right. The downside of it too is that if you're not filtering enough into the down pathway, then you're not going to be able to handle sulfur real well because it gets backed up. And so the cysteine and and all that does create the sulfate and sulfite groups. But really it's that glutathione that happens down here that's so important.
Well, would it be difficult to process MSM?
It might be, yeah. Yeah, it's a very heavy-duty sulfur.
Because it doesn't seem to help me like it does some people.
Yeah, so it may just be that you're not getting it through, and it maybe you need the B6 to pull it down.
Oh, okay.
To be able to use it better, right? So that's what I see on this one.
Okay.
So B12, B6, folate, avoiding caffeine, because caffeine is processed up there. And the other thing with the COM-T is that it's estrogen. So the 4-hydroxyestrogen, which gets produced as one of the metabolic byproducts, it doesn't get the COM-T, catecholamine O-methyltransferase, is that enzyme that's needed to break that down and get rid of it.
Hmm.
So you end up with a little bit more. So if you were to do a Dutch test, you might see a higher level of 4-hydroxy.
Okay.
All right. Cruciferous vegetables, broccoli sprouts, sulforaphane, all those things are really helpful in that area.
Okay.
Okay.
And the other form?
The other form, look at the detox protein. Yeah.
There's two homozygous on this one.
Yeah, so the CYP1A1, that's okay. Okay, so the 1A1 is the other one, and I don't have all of these memorized, so I'm going to pull up mine on the other screen, or I can't show it, but I'll pull my chart up. But I know that the 1A1, two of them aren't genotyped. You just have the one. That's related also to the estrogen metabolism. Hmm. So it's good that it's green, but the two of them weren't genotyped, so we don't know.
I don't have any of that anymore.
Uh-huh. Well, in that case, then, because you don't have any, if it's really low, then you're not going to, even if you are producing a large percentage of the 4-hydroxy, it's just not a lot that's going to hurt you because your levels are low. But still, because estrogen is so important for so many things, you know, not a bad idea to have a little more. Let me see what the red ones, the rest of this is all good. Which is the other one? SOD, you know what superoxide dismutase is, right? That's one of the really potent antioxidants. This is actually one of the better ones I've seen. Holy cow.
I just don't know what this means.
Superoxide dismutase.
Well, I knew that, but what does it mean for me here?
It means that you might be slightly impaired in that, but you just have to, probably you're doing it with your lifestyle, is to just avoid toxin exposure as much as you can, right? Keep the risk down. Okay. If it was red, I may suggest that you look into an SOD supplement, but I just think, you know, there's the lifestyle factors and I don't think that's an issue. The ones I would look at though, go up to the top again. So 1A2 and 1B1, I believe are both related to caffeine metabolism. Do you do any caffeine?
Yeah.
All right. This is what we've used to get people off of it. Let me pull up my chart.
And I have stopped coffee, but.
Yeah, but what kind of caffeine do you do?
Chocolate.
Okay, how much?
Well.
A lot?
More than I should.
Okay. Yeah, so just be a little cognizant of that.
I'm working on it.
I'm going to log back in. It looks like it logged me out of the site. And I'm going to show you guys the charts that we have. We have some good charts here. I want to put more on these, but I need...
Well, the Stratagene chart that they sent me was a lot more complicated looking, and they had mostly charts on it.
So. It is. Well, I'll go through that with you because it's not that hard. But I'm looking at. I always start with the genetic genie because it's simple. I'm just looking for my nutrigenomics program. Look, I'm nutrigenomics. Oh, because it's part of ERC. I have to go into ERC. Nope, so I have to go into ERC here. So if you go into the new site, the Unstoppable Health. And if you want to find the nutrigenomics, you'll have to click on ERC. Why doesn't he have that on the main page? Because
I could only get it because Lynn sent it to me.
A direct link. I'm going to have to figure out how to get it and see on the new site because it's quicker on the new site. Ready, set, go, share. Bonus modules. Here we go. Where's nutrigenomics?
It's not there. I've already brought that up.
Nutrigenomics isn't here at all. Oh, yeah, it's down at the bottom.
On the bonus?
So, it's under program access, not bonus. Okay, I'm opening it.
Well, they may have just put it there because it was yesterday. I told them about that it wasn't open.
That it wasn't open at all? All right, I'm going to share my screen. So, yes. And I'm going to share this. Is that it? Share screen. Yeah, so the way I got here was... under ERC, but it should be on the main. It should be on the main dashboard. This is the new site. It's replacing VLM, although it hasn't completely yet because we're still working out the kinks. So most people are still on the old site. But when you get in here, it shows you the programs. Mine shows me all the programs, but I don't see nutrigenomics on here, and it should be because I don't think that they have access to the full ERC except the coaches. So right now you have to go in this way. So is that what you told him, that he needs to put nutrigenomics on the front page? Lynn? So if we go on this page, if you can get access to this.
Yes.
It would be But what we're going to do is put this thing on the very, so program access. Right. Here we go.
Great.
Nutrigenomics. Here we go. Okay. So hopefully he'll get that on the front page. So when you log in, you'll be able to see, and you should be able to see all the ERC type modules that you should be getting access to. When you go to Nutrigenomics, now I haven't been in it on the new site yet, so hopefully it's all there. No, I didn't click it. Well, you know, this used to be faster until we get hundreds of people in it, thousands of people, whatever. It's part two, interpreting genetics. And I highly recommend you kind of go through this. There's a lot of good information. There's way more than you'll possibly go through in the short term. But here's the... Is this in the R Nutrigenomics? Well, she wouldn't have it yet because she just joined. Genetics, detox interpretation, and methylation. So we'll go to the detox one. And it's just a chart, and it lists each one.
Okay.
Right? And so this one, yours was 1A2 was a homozygous, right? Affects caffeine metabolism and estrogen metabolism. SNPs here can increase the risk of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and prostate cancer. So we want to take the strain off that, which means don't do caffeine because you can't avoid estrogen metabolism. Mm-hmm. And be careful of it. And the 1B1 is the same. Mm-hmm. Plus it's the upregulation of the 4-hydroxylation. And then with your COMT is definitely, you've got that increased risk of breast cancer if you're not careful. So I would be careful about the caffeine.
Okay.
It doesn't mean you can't ever have chocolate, but I wouldn't be eating a ton of it every day. And I definitely wouldn't do chocolate. I mean, black tea or coffee. Okay. And then the rest of it, if you read about what SOD says, you can see. So this is where I would have you go whenever you run anybody's charts or your own, is just start by reading through. I have people just go through and highlight what's theirs. So you'd highlight whichever ones were yellow or red. And I usually like to do it in yellow or red. And then there's your SOD. It's an enzyme that protects cells from increased oxidative stress, free radical damage. It's responsible for drug metabolism, which I know you don't take, right? It encodes mitochondrial protein that binds 1-magnesium. Okay, the protein binds the superoxide products. Mutations have been associated with idiopathic cardiomyopathy. So this one, I feel like you've got it. Like you don't take any of the medications. You keep your, you're not doing air fresheners in your air. You know, everything you do is natural. So that's what you do here. What's that?
That my environment is very clean.
Your environment's very clean. Your hair products, your skin product, whatever you use is very clean. So that's all I would recommend you do there. Now, if you were in a situation where you had to move in with a family and, I don't know, with your sick mother and in her miserably sick environment, you might consider taking some extra SOD while you're there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay?
Cool.
Yeah. So pull up, I'm going to give you back the screen and I'm going to let you put up your strategene one. Who's seen the strategene before? Who on here has? Oh, and then we have, okay, I got Maria. Lower hand. And we'll go to Susan next. So lower hand on Annette. Okay, so hit the strategene.
I think this is it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So I'm going to make this bigger so I can see it better. Good. All right, so it's prepared for, okay, so this is the interpretation of it. So you can see that when it tells you the enzyme and you've got a SNP there, it, in the orange with the line here, it will tell you what increases the activity of that, and then it'll tell you what decreases the activity of that. And so let's just say you have a particular gene and you've got a SNP there and you want to decrease the activity, you want to increase the activity, you do the things on the activity side. But you also want to look at your lifestyle to see if you're doing things that are decreasing it. So say it says caffeine decreases the effectiveness of this enzyme and you're doing a lot of caffeine, then you'd want to decrease the stuff that's affecting it. Now, in some cases, we're looking for the opposite reaction, but in most cases, we want to increase the activity of the gene or and decrease the activity of the things that are decreasing it. Get rid of the things that decrease it.
Okay.
And then in general, this is just you're reading it. So the wild type is green, and the yellows are the heterozygous. So this shows a few more of the genes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the genetic genie report didn't show these, but these may be. So you gotta, yeah, there's a lot here with, this is a folate receptor, SLC. The rest of these are all related to the methyl, the B12 and folate pathways, the methylation pathways. So, you know, supporting those as needed. Do you do energetic testing on yourself? That's something you do in your practice, like, you know, muscle testing or anything like that?
I haven't, no.
Okay. Well, you know, one of my favorite ways is the old sway test.
Yeah. Well, I do that when I'm shopping.
Okay. Yeah. So do the sway test on your supplements and know whether you need to take them on any given day.
Yeah. Okay.
Mine vary from day to day.
Okay.
Okay. G6PD. So this is nitric oxide synthase. So that's a little bit low. When you scroll down, it'll tell you that's related to nitric oxide, which is related to dilation of blood vessels, et cetera, and the COMT we already talked about. So let's look at what they say. Okay. And this is the bonus. So the explanation is down below. Let's look at here.
It's after all this.
Yeah. So the BCO1, before we go down there, let's just chat about these first. The BCO1 is related to vitamin A, and it's the conversion of beta carotene to vitamin A. You have two heterozygoses, which means you might be slightly impaired. But my experience has been with people who eat a ton of green leafy vegetables and, you know, vegetables and stuff that contain a lot of beta carotene, it's probably fine. Even if you don't convert it at 100%, you only do it 70%. And if you want to, you periodically would take a vitamin A. So I got my bottle of vitamin A from Seeking Health and probably lasts over a year because, I mean, I'd take a drop or two here and there. And I test myself to see when I need it. So.
Okay.
FUT2 has a relationship to gut bacteria. It says whether or not you secrete your blood type antigens into your mucus secretions. And you may say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, we found that what that has to do with anything is that the blood type antigens actually feed the bifidobacter. So people with a lot of FUT2 problems have trouble with maintaining good levels of bifidobacter. Mm-hmm. I have, there's another report that shows all of them, and I have six homozygous FUT2s. So I've always had this thing that I love fermented food. So I don't just sit down and eat a little sauerkraut. I want to eat the whole bag. I don't sit down and eat like a couple of bites full of coconut yogurt or cashew yogurt. I just want to eat the whole thing because my body is like craves it. And it turns out that it's because I need to be feeding my bifidobacter. So yours is homozygous. And again, this is the most clinically relevant of them. There are others, but you just maybe need to just make sure that you're eating your fermented foods.
Okay.
That's all I would interpret that as. PEMT is phospholipids. So it could be that you're not making good phospholipids, which could affect like the brain, the sheaths around the nerves and stuff. Mm-hmm. Could affect memory. Okay. So, I like to look at that and say, okay, PEMT, phospholipids, let's make sure you're getting good sources of phospholipids in your diet. Sunflower lecithin or even just sunflower seeds, but sunflower lecithin so you don't get so much of an overload of omega 6. And when, the liposomal C that Drina's been making uses, sunflower lecithin. Right. So that could be something you could just sprinkle on things, use it in smoothies to thicken them. It's an emulsifier. It helps to keep the fat and the liquid from separating.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. There's your VDRs, ApoE. The FADS, we'll have to look to see. I don't remember exactly what that FAD is. Probably flavonoid adenosine diphosphate. And that would have to do with the Krebs cycle, but we'll see what he has to say about it. ApoE. We'll look to see what it is. I think you're probably a 2-3. So we'll look at it when he interprets it. See the bonus section for further information. I'm pretty sure that is a 2-3.
Okay. You tell me where to go here.
All right. So this is your picture. This is what you said looks complicated, but the reason is this is, remember I was showing this right over here is the folate metabolism. And over here is where the B12 and the homocysteine's at the bottom. This is the folate side of it. And he's basically showing you very nicely where your potential blockages are
right
in here. And also, what are some of the things that are happening here? So NAD, that's a niacin dependency. Magnesium, right? He's showing you the different cofactors that are related here, like MTR. So the thing that will increase that is, you know, low methionine. If you have low methionine, you're going to have a decreased activity. I mean, increased activity. Because the methionine is up here. Oh, you can't see it because I'm on your chart, but it's up at the top. So basically, the things that will decrease the MTR activity, which means these are things to be careful about. Alcohol, acetaldehyde, which is a byproduct of alcohol metabolism. Taking nitric oxide, lead, mercury, blah, 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 peroxide, nitric oxide, TNF-alpha, so cadmium. So various metals are going to decrease that activity. So being careful that you're not exposed to these things would be important.
Okay. Well, I just did a hair analysis. Is that reliable?
Yeah, for toxics, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It showed pretty good other than arsenic.
Okay, great. Arsenic is a lot of times it's the stain in or the covering on a wood deck. So if you have a wood deck.
Yeah, it's my deck where it comes from, I'm sure.
Yeah, okay. And then the folate, yeah, so this is your, it's a folate receptor. So it's all related to what we talked about before. The MTHFD1, if you go back a page, you'll see that that's one of the intermediates in that pathway. Just go back to the previous page. MTHFD1. So you've got the folate coming in dietarily up here, and it has to go through all this process to get to the, down here to the, where the MTHFR works.
Okay.
Right, that's the methylfolate. It produces 5-methylfolate. Okay, so let's see. I think we talked about all this. You can read it. It gives you more information and maybe additional stuff. okay, keep going.
It's another picture.
Oh. Okay, yeah. So this is the one off to the side. So here, right? These guys are joined at the hip right here.
Right.
The other one is over. The MTR joins them. Here's your homocysteine at the bottom. And then the CBS, you see the CBS, right? So B6 and serine are important here. Remember, we just talked about your phospholipids. So phosphatidylserine in sunflower lecithin might be a really good addition to your diet along with the extra vitamin B6.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And low cysteine can be a problem too. Okay. PON, you're okay. So MTRR, so you're going to need a little bit more, you know, and the B12, I would just be checking. And then any of the cofactors. So the way you could read this is I need more of whatever is in the orange and I need less of whatever is in there. Now, some of these you're like, where do I get that from? I don't know. Look it up. I doubt I'm not sure about. yeah. So some of the things that we would consider good actually can have a negative effect if you have a problem with that particular gene.
Okay. And the green is just a source?
The green is a completely normal gene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the green is that. The yellow here is going to be your heterozygous. And if you had any reds, they would be the dotted
lines here.
Yeah. Okay. But the green is I see what you mean. Those are cofactors. Right. That's what you need to be able to do that conversion. These are required. So if you see that, you know, you're not doing it well, if you have that SNP and you're low in these cofactors, FAD and NAD are flavin adenosine diphosphate and niacin or nicotinamide adenosine diphosphate. They're B vitamin derivatives that are very important in your Krebs cycle. Okay.
More of same.
More of the MTRR. See what he says about CBS will be down below. The transsulfation. So now he's going through. Yeah! This one drives you nuts, right? So this is everything that happens below the fold, below the homocysteine, right? And then if you're staying at homocysteine and not bringing things down, these are some of the things that could be impaired. And that's where your SOD is. There's where your glutathione is, right? Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
All right. And then if you go into that nutrigenomics piece, and you don't have access yet to our nutrigenomics piece, but you should have access to the one on the client side. Some of those videos are very, very detailed. So okay. You can get a lot from them. There's your SOD. What does it say? This variant is intermediate activity, associated symptoms, maybe osteoporosis, higher oxidant stress. I mean, see, these are some just clinically relevant things that probably most of them don't apply to you. Mm-hmm. But you'd want to watch out for too much copper. So your copper zinc ratios would be important here. Okay. So this is your biopterin. This is,
yikes.
Yeah. So here's where your COMTs are. Yeah. Again, you know, I don't have all these, you know, I look through these every time and you learn more and more about these pathways. This is the pathway I'm less familiar with than the other ones. Quinolinic acid. So NAD we said was important for some of that stuff. So you'd want to look at, well, do you have any genes that would decrease the production of NAD? Not really, okay? But you have this nitric oxide synthase, which nitric oxide is super important, but too much nitric oxide can be bad, right? It can be dangerous. So we want the right amount. But it's important as a vasodilator.
Right.
Okay? Let's see what he says. Here's this. It's so cofactors, heme, FAD, FNM, let me think of what that might mean, and BH4. So, you know, being careful about your insulin, right, is going to be important here. The serotonin, right, we said you have that COMT, you may get elevated levels of partially broken down serotonin. Acetylcholine, we're back to, hey, what about that phosphatidylserine? I always love it when I can find lots of things that point back to similar food or right. supplementation or lifestyle. So this is going to decrease your NOS activity. So you'd want to be eating foods that have more arginine, unless you have a tendency to herpes. But the foods with more arginine are going to help you to make more of the nitric oxide.
Okay.
Okay. And then COMT, we talked about, you can read if there's more detail about it. Intermediate levels. Okay, keep going. Yeah, so that's how you read this. The histamine pathway. I don't remember them having histamine in there the last time I ran this. They might have added more. Like here, your gene is okay, but you might have problems with the catecholamines because of that pathway. So you just want to, you know, if you have a tendency towards high histamine, you get the, you know, the red nose and the itchy skin after eating certain foods, then we could look at that a little bit more closely. NAT2, to look at the list. I don't remember NAT2. And nitric, here we go. Oh yeah, NAT2 is a drug synthesis, right? These are all the drugs. And that's listed on our detox one. And it'll tell you all the different things that are related to the NAT2, right? Licorice will decrease the activity of NAT2. So some people, you know, you work with them and they just can't tolerate licorice. Have you ever worked with people like that? They just can't stand it. They can't, just don't tolerate it. So be careful about that. And then yeah, the high heterocyclic amines, right? So charbroiled meats, garage exhaust fumes from your car coming into the garage or coming from the garage into your house, should be careful about. And then here's the bonus SNPs. We talked about BCM. We talked about the FUT2. First one, NQ01 can't convert ubiquinone to active. So supplementing ubiquinone for AA and AG and urine AG. So that's a possibility to look at. PEMT, that's the one that I talked about. Increased risk of Alzheimer's and CT and TT, and you're a TT. It's theorized that humans with enough choline from dietary sources is helpful as it spares methyl groups for other biological activities. So I would look at the sunflower lecithin because it has that.
Okay.
Okay. And that's a food. I like when we can get away with this with food. FADS. Okay. Go back there. I would be careful with your omega-3 6 ratios with this one, right? So really look at the chart that we have in the macronutrients part. There's a chart that I put together where you can put in your foods and get your ratio of omega-6 to 3. So you want to make sure that you're in a good, healthy range because your body is going to naturally have higher levels of arachidonic acid if you're not careful with that. So, you know, low on the animal products, but balanced on like sunflower seeds and Brazil nuts and all the omega-6 riches and really balance it for your omega-3s.
Well, most of the supplements, though, like the DHA that you had suggested for things like that, those have a good balance on them, don't they?
Well, those are pure omega-3.
Oh, they are just 3? Okay.
Yeah, they're, which is fine because most people have dietary 6.
All right, okay.
Yeah, yeah, FAD. Let me look at the FAD one. That's the one I wasn't familiar with. A low converter of ALA to DEPA. So that would imply that you really need to look at on your omega-3 side, if you're relying solely on walnuts and chia seeds and hemp seeds and all that to get your omega-3s, you're actually going to have a lower conversion of ALA to EPA. And what I've seen is that there's such a big range of that. Some studies show people having as much as 50% being converted, and others say 6%. And I bet it has to do with this gene. Mm-hmm. Okay? So AG, which is you, are approximately 19% less efficient than a wild type. So consider fish oils or microalgae oils over flax oils, especially in vegan. So you might want to look at the DHA you're taking is good that you're taking that because it has the algae. So that's it just reinforces that that's a good choice for you.
Good.
TNF-alpha is an inflammatory marker. And so, you know, it just is saying, just be super careful, right? With all your D is important, chromium, you're doing that, magnesium. So a lot of the things we're having you do in the sweet spot are important, and avoidance of the things that are problematic, which you already do, smoking, you know, all that. But really working on your glucose is an important one here.
Right, right. Because it's been high.
Yeah. And so this is great because it's just reinforcing for you. A lot of times what I love about these reports is it tells me, it helps people to do what I was telling them to do anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, so ApoE, you're a 2-3. Yeah, so I was right. Now 2-3, that's what I am. 2-3 is actually, I think 3-3 is the most common, but 2-3 and 2-2 are better. So you're less likely to develop atherosclerosis, heart disease, and Alzheimer's than someone with a 3-4, 3-3, 3-4, and a 4-4. So if you look at the numbers, you have a 2-2, a 2-3, a 3-3, a 3-4, and a 4-4. So there's 5 choices. So you're in the second best of those choices.
Okay. Well, I did a calcium screen too, and it came back 0, so I don't have any calcifications.
Woohoo! Good for you. So the important stuff. So all this little other stuff is subtle tweaking. Right, to keep your gut in order because of the FUT2 and to avoid toxic exposure. A lot of stuff you're already doing. It just gives you a few more things and just that confidence that you're on the right track on some of them.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That helped a great deal. Thank you.
Yay. Did that help everybody to see that?
I'm falling asleep.
What? You're falling asleep?
I'm falling asleep.
Everybody is. I've had a long day. I've been talking straight since 5 o'clock. All right. Let me unmute. Yeah, there you go. Do anybody have questions about that? Do you find that helpful? The more we go over them, the more we're going to get. So I'm going to go to Susan because Susan has her hand up. And I know we got to start these calls earlier, but
I don't remember my question.
You don't?
I was so engrossed in what
we were just doing.
Yeah. It wasn't anything major. It was just some small question. No worries. It's getting late.
All right.
But well, yes, that was fantastic looking at Lynn's
genes.
What's the word?
Her SNPs, her genetics. Yes,
thanks.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, and there's a lot of these. If you were to go back to a lot of our case study calls and a lot of these calls, We've done that a lot. We asked somebody to go through and categorize them so we could put them down, but we haven't had that happen yet. So that's something I want, like, listen in and say, hey, if anybody wants to wants to do that for, that'll, like, give you an excuse for doing it. So it's, you know, anyway, but listening in and seeing which ones had which kinds of stuff on it, right? Because, and Lynn's starting to take notes now when we do these calls, so that the ones going from, like, you know, January, February forward, we're just going to have some notes, like a little Word doc that says, we discussed genetics, we discussed, you know, diabetes, we discussed, so you have an idea when you look at it, oh, I want to listen to that call. We also have within that portal that you just looked at for the client portal, we've got recordings of 3 or 4 all-day workshops that I did with the ERC people, interpreting. So if you want to get really good at this, you can watch me go through one after the other, after the other, after the other. And that's how I got so much of this down, right? I hadn't looked at one of those that she had, the FAD one. But, you know, the ones that I didn't have to look at my notes, right? That's not because I'm brilliant. That's because I've done it a lot. When people say to me, oh my God, you're so brilliant at lab reading. No, I am a good learner. Repetition, 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 repetition. So if you watch those, after a while, you'll get it, right? When Drina got on, she was pretty hot at saying she thinks this and this and this just by, right? She was pretty hot because she's watched and she's learned and she's done it. So everybody can get there. It's just a matter of time and diligence and repetition. So that's why I love looking at these, because I get better and better at these genetic things, at being able to spot it right away without having to read all the verbiage on the reports. But that's why the verbiage is there on the reports to teach you, right? So you learn it, you learn it, you learn it. Okay?
And I have to say that I've been listening to a lot of recordings.
Good.
Whatever.
Wherever we have it,
at how much I'm retaining, especially, you know, because I make my drive into Austin several times a week. You know, I have a lot of drive time.
Good.
And so I just feel like I'm listening. I'm hearing your voice in my head.
Yeah. And, but, you know, it's sometimes you have to listen to it 5 times before all of it sinks in.
It is sinking in. And I'm so thrilled that I'm actually talking to people. And in fact, I've got a little success story. A friend of mine who is on her second functional medicine doctor, and she's actually found a really good one here in Austin.
You know,
her daughter.
I think I know them all. So,
Dr. Hernandez.
Huh. No.
South Austin. I can't remember his first
name. Okay.
But anyway. But the point being that they've all done really, really well. But one of their daughters, as they were coming back to adding a few more carbs and things into their diets, was starting to gain weight again, and the rest of the family wasn't. And I was surprised that my friend actually reached out and asked me about, well, what do you think this is? Do you think it might have something to do with this blood sugar thing that you're always talking about? And so I went over and I coached her. I told her to get her glucose meter and I coached her on how to do and all that. And 13. And she was all over it. She just thinks this is the coolest, biggest science experiment. Oh, and she's finding all these foods that are, you know, spiking her insulin. And so she's not eating them.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Amazing?
It's great.
And diabetes runs prevalent on both sides of their family. So I was explaining to her that she is, you know, she's at risk for diabetes if she doesn't handle this, and how incredibly exciting that at 13, she's, as I'm explaining all the mechanics of it. It's like, I've got this little 13-year-old all excited about her blood chemistry.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I love what you're doing. Cause you know what, Susan, a lot of people say when, like, they come to the IRSPT calls and they're like, I want to join that program, but I'm not a practitioner of any kind. Right. I don't have a degree of any kind.
I'm a mom.
And I'm like, yeah, look at Susan, right? And Lynn, they're moms, right? And some of you have had other educations beforehand, but, you know, we're not like we take anybody off the street, right? Like, you gotta have, but I saw that in you just by the questions you were asking at potlucks and stuff that, yeah, you are a digger. You're a detective.
Oh, I'm loving it.
It's great. It's really great to see.
And it was so, and it was so crazy because as I'm having this 2-hour conversation with my friend and her daughters, you know, just chatting, and she's going, wow, that's what Dr. H said. Oh my gosh, that's what Dr. H said. I mean, every other word, wow, that's what we learned from Dr. H.
That's great.
And I was like, wow.
I'm learning it.
It was good for me because I'm in Lynn's shoes where I'm not feeling very confident. It's like, well, I'm just a mom. How can I know any of this stuff, you know?
Yeah. And, no, you're getting it. And that's what it takes. Repetition, repetition, repetition.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, it's good to hear that there's more and more functional docs. When I moved to Austin 18 years ago, it was me and Ron Manzanero. That was it. That was it. Nobody else. And then it's like, boom, there's all these others coming in. All right. Who else? Anybody else before we go? Annette, you have another one? Yeah.
Well, it's not another one. It's follow up. The beta cells need the zinc to make the insulin.
The zinc. So she's making. Yeah, she's trying real hard.
Yeah, and her, you know, and her beta cells are still working. So
yeah.
And I'm gonna get, when I do the antibodies, I'm gonna do the zinc transporter on her also.
Great.
It'll tell, you know, the antibodies towards the zinc.
Okay. I didn't know that you could get that. That's great.
Found it on Direct Labs.
See, when you dig, right? If you know what to look for.
Right.
I mean, there's so much out there. It's just like if you're sitting there going, what do I type? Tiredness.
Well,
zinc needs.
Maria and I were looking at like different versions of the same article, but hers was a lot better. So I've only read like 3 paragraphs of hers, but yesterday after the call, I printed out the antibody test for diabetes. So I'm going, okay, where am I going to get all these? But so now, and not yesterday, I'm like, well, why do I want to run this zinc test? Well, now I know why.
Now you know why. Yeah. Good. Good. And Lynn, would you do me a favor and pull any of the links out of this chat? So I don't have to read the whole chat, but if you can pull any of the links, cause I want to follow up on these articles that Maria posted
and Lynn posted one also. Lynn
posted one. Yeah. If you can put them in my Skype chat and all.
So I'm going to change my mineral paper to zinc, specifically zinc and diabetes.
Beautiful. Yay. Cool. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And thanks to Maria and Lynn.
Yeah. I love how we're all learning to be these detox divas, you know, these detective divas, you know, yeah. Like, oh, we're going to get this. Because it's the way you learn, right? I posted something in response on the iThrive thing where somebody said she just had a glucose tolerance test and, oh, they made her drink that syrup. And her numbers came out and her peak was 180. And after 2 hours, she was at 140. So they told her she was perfectly fine.
God.
So I wrote back in and I said, well, it's actually not perfectly fine. If you look at this, you know, you really should not ever go above 110. Now, given you've been diabetic and, you know, but that's not perfectly fine. You still have work to do. And congratulations on the progress you've made. Well, she writes back and, well, the Mayo Clinic agrees with what my doctor said.
Okay.
All right. Well, I just wrote back and I said, well, if you look at the track record of Western medicine and helping diabetics and preventing long-term complications of diabetes, it's not pretty. It's up to you, but my research says that, you know, above a certain level, and I've done extensive research, and it's up to you what you want to believe, right? And they tell them that all the time, and it's like, yeah, no problem. Your hemoglobin A1C is 6.5. You're doing great. Now they want to raise it, what, to 8?
They're saying 7 or 8, yeah.
To say you're fine? Like, seriously?
Well, some people are speculating that's an insurance move. The insurance companies are behind that, so they have to pay less.
They have to pay.
But they're going to pay later.
Of course.
When, you know,
by amputations, blindness. Yeah.
Uh-huh. My daughter will send me stuff, and it's like, look, so-and-so had, you know, 3 bowls of cereal for breakfast, and their blood glucose is 240. And I'm like, and 20, 30 years from now, they'll have no toes, you know?
Right. Right. It's sad. And I, every day on one of these calls, somebody comes up with some archaic, ridiculous, dangerous thing that their doctor told them. And I just want to, it reinforces I'm in the right place. I'm doing the right thing.
Yes.
But it's frustrating that these are highly paid, highly trained people that are giving people horrible advice.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So thank you.
Yes. You're welcome. All right. Cool. Okay. I think if they, unless there's something else, did I miss anything else, guys, in there? No. Yeah. Cool. Ah, so, good for you. Martha said she is, she's going to go through modules in Markham. Yay. Yay. Cool. Is emotion code part of tapping or something different? I think it's different. It's going to go similar. Okay. Yeah. All right. Great, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to open up the, I'm going to unmute everybody. And on the count of three, let's all say good night. Bye.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Talk soon. Oops. Okay. Bye.